Good morning. Let's turn our Bibles to Psalm 73. Psalm 73. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet came close to stumbling. My steps had almost slipped, for I was envious of the arrogant. As I saw the prosperity of the wicked, for there are no pains in their death, and their body is fat. They're not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like mankind. Therefore, pride is their necklace. The garment of violence covers them. Their eye bulges from fatness. The imaginations of their heart run riot. They mock and wickedly speak of oppression. They speak from on high. They have set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue parades through the earth. Therefore his people return to this place, and waters of abundance are drunk by them. They say, how does God know? And is there knowledge with the Most High? Behold, these are the wicked, and always at ease. They have increased in wealth. Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure and washed my hands in innocence. For I have been stricken all day long and chastened every morning. But if I had said, I will speak thus, behold, I would have betrayed the generation of your children. When I ponder to understand this, it was troublesome in my sight until I came into the sanctuary of God. Then I perceived their end. Surely you set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. How they are destroyed in a moment. They are utterly swept away by sudden terrors. Like a dream when one awakes. O Lord, when aroused, you will despise their form. When my heart was embittered and I was pierced within, then I was senseless and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You have taken hold of my right hand. With your counsel, you will guide me and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And besides you, I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For behold, those who are far from you will perish. You have destroyed all those who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, the nearness of God is my good. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all your works. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this morning. We thank you that you have brought us here this morning into your sanctuary, God, into your presence. And we want to spend some time with you. We want to pray. We want to hear from you, hear your word, God. So we invite you, come Holy Spirit, and speak to us, God. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. So in this psalm, my focus, the verses that I want to really focus on is verses 16 and 17. When I pondered to understand this, it was troublesome in my sight until I came into the sanctuary of God, and then I perceived their end. In the NIV, it says, when I try to understand this, or when I try to understand all this, it troubled me deeply until I entered the sanctuary of God, and then I understood their final destiny. So the context of this psalm is simple, right? The main character of this psalm is struggling. He is troubled. He's looking out into the world, and he sees the arrogant, the ungodly, but they're getting rich, and they're having all the fun, and they're doing very well. But they're not, they don't fear God. They don't obey God. They don't strive to, you know, live their life for God. And yet they're so happy and they're so Just everything seems to be going well for them. And I guess he's looking at his own life and saying, man, in vain, I have tried to keep God's word. Maybe he's looking at his own life and maybe things are not going very well, right? Things are not happening for him like he thinks they should. And he's looking out into the world. Maybe he sees, maybe he has a boss that is very ungodly, you know, that, but he's doing very well. He's a good family, beautiful wife, kids, and very rich. And he's just troubled. And he's envious of these people that are not walking with God. They seem to be enjoying life more. So to him, this life of obeying God and fearing God and keeping to his command, it seems like an unnecessary burden. So he's troubled and he's thinking like this. And he says, I was senseless. I was like a beast before God. Maybe he was very bitter at God, you know. God, why is my life like this? You know? He used to think, man, it's such a burden to be, well, he wouldn't have called himself a Christian, but in our context, maybe he's saying, man, it's such a burden to be a Christian. I come to church every Sunday. I got to go to house church every week. I got to go to retreat. I got to pay $2,000 to go to retreat. You know, they're complaining. And then he says, When I tried to understand all of this, it troubled me deeply until I entered the sanctuary of God, and then I understood. And so he enters the sanctuary of God, and then everything comes into the right perspective, right? He begins to get understanding from God's perspective, and he begins to see the final end, right, of those that are living without God. And I'm basically begins to see, man, it is so much better to have life with God and to enjoy the goodness of God and the presence of God than all these other things. Basically, everything comes into right perspective, and he begins to understand, man, God is way better than maybe having just a little more fun in this life. And then he ends up praising God and thanking him. But I want to focus on those two verses. It troubled me deeply. It troubled me deeply until I entered into the sanctuary. And then I understood. And then I perceived. Because I think many things happen in our lives that trouble us. You know, we could be in a position like the psalmist here, maybe feeling like sin looks more attractive than God, right? Sometimes we're like that. Sometimes sin just seems like it'll be more fun and more enjoyable than obeying God. So we could be in that place, but it could be other things that give us just trouble. You know, we just feel troubled in our heart. Maybe it's an illness. Maybe it's an illness of a family member. Maybe, you know, bad things happen to good people and we are so troubled. We don't understand and we are bitter. We're filled with doubt maybe about our faith. Is this all real? Why am I really doing this? We are, maybe we feel burnt out. You know, I'm busy doing ministry. I'm working hard. I'm doing all these things, but I don't see any fruit. And you're burnt out and you're like, I'm done with this. You know, you're troubled deeply in your heart. It could be some relational tension, you know, something's going on in your family and you're just so troubled. Just frustration with life. You know, when will I be promoted? When will I be married? When will I be successful with my life? And we just get frustrated with life. There's many things that will trouble us. And what I think this psalm teaches us is in those moments, what we need to do is we need to enter into the sanctuary of God. The psalmist says, until I entered into the sanctuary of God, I was deeply troubled. I was deeply troubled in my heart. I was senseless. I was ignorant. I was a brute beast before God. And then I entered into his presence, his sanctuary, and then everything came into focus, right? Peace of God came. It's funny how difficult it is for us to enter the sanctuary of God when we feel troubled, right? When we feel troubled about something, I think it depends on your mood. If you're in the fight mode, then you just want to figure things out, right? If you're troubled about something, you just want to, okay, what do I need to do to figure this thing out? Who do I need to call? You know, how can I get my promotion? How can I get this done? And let me just make more money, and then maybe I'll be happy. Or let me confront this person, and we'll figure this thing out. Or oftentimes, we are probably more likely in the flight mode, which is just to kind of escape from all of this, right? And we turn to TV, right? We often, I think, turn to TV. That's what I do. We turn to TV or YouTube. We're like, maybe if I watch this video and it makes me laugh, you know, I watch this TV show and that's going to help me. And it does help, right? It does help a little bit. But it's not sufficient. It's not sufficient help. It's not going to give us peace and perspective like the way the psalmist talks about. You know, we often want to just forget the problem, or we want to procrastinate and do something else. I think very likely the enemy of our soul wants to keep us from doing the one thing that is going to give us true peace. The enemy of our soul wants to keep us in this place of feeling troubled, feeling bitter, feeling doubtful and struggling. So he will keep us from going to that one place where it's going to set us free, which is the presence of God. So he'll fill us with all kinds of distractions, temptations. So when we're troubled, especially when we're troubled, it is even more difficult to enter into the presence. But that's exactly what we need to do. So I want to ask us a question, kind of playing on the word sanctuary. What is your sanctuary that you turn to when you find yourself in trouble, right? Is it maybe do you go to the gym and that's your sanctuary? You just want to exercise and get it out and get that frustration out of your system. And yes, you will feel better, but you still have to deal with the problem that is troubling you, right? Or maybe you turn to TV, like I said. That's your sanctuary. Your sanctuary is lying on your bed with your tablet, going on Netflix or whatever, and just enjoying a good TV show, which is good, helps, but not eternal help, right? Or maybe it's alcohol, right? Some people turn to alcohol as their sanctuary to make themselves feel just that much better. So maybe I'll just deal with this better if I feel a little good about myself or whatever. Sometimes it's our friends, you know, relationship. You immediately call somebody up, which is, again, not a bad thing. But the ultimate change, the ultimate victory, the ultimate perception comes when we enter the sanctuary of God. Pastor Benjamin was here, I don't know, a while ago. I don't remember what the context was, but he was saying how he had such a busy, busy week ministering, and he was so tired, and he had a day just by himself. I think his family had left, and he knew he had this one day just to recuperate in his hotel room. And so I think we're talking, and I was asking him, well, what he did. And he said, all I did was just lie down on my bed, sleep, worship, meditate. And then he said something so profound. I wish I live it out more. But he said, the worst thing you can do in those moments is to turn on your TV or to go on your phone, because it doesn't give you true rest. But that's what we often do, right? When we're tired, we want to unwind, we just want to turn to our TV. But he said, that's the worst thing you could do. So he said he turned everything off. He just spent time with God, and he slept, and he meditated, he worshipped. That's what we need to do. Because that's when we get perspective. And that's when understanding comes. That's when we get God's perspective. What is sanctuary? I think it's simple for, I think we probably all understand. But sanctuary, back in that time, for the author here, it would have meant maybe the temple or maybe the tabernacle. It was a literal, a physical place that he entered into, right? It was the presence of God. But it represented the presence of God. And the sanctuary, it would have been a place of worship, right? They wouldn't have gone into the holy place without a sacrifice, which represents worship. So it would have been a place of worship, coming to God and worshiping him. And I think it also would have been a place of humility. Because at that time, the way it's set up, there's all these rituals that you have to go through to enter into the sanctuary. And all those rituals is a very physical way of humbling ourselves, right? Cleansing ourselves, repenting. And, just understanding the holiness of God and humbling ourselves to enter in. And so it's a place of humility, it's a place of worship, and it's a place that represented the presence of God. And for us, I think living in the New Testament, New Covenant era, that sanctuary can be found anywhere, right? We can have a sanctuary of God anywhere we go to, whether we're at work. I know sometimes our church members, especially during the fasting period, because they want to find a place to pray, sometimes they just go to the toilet, right? Because they can't do it in the office. So even the bathroom could become the sanctuary of God if you can spend some time with God. When Bob Sorge was here, I was taking him back to his hotel and just spending a little bit of time with him. And I asked him, hey, don't you get tired of all the traveling, you know? Do you enjoy traveling? Does it bother you, you know? We didn't fly him business, you know what I mean? He's like 63. We flew him economy. Next time, maybe we should fly him business, right? But I was like, man, you're old. That's bad, right? But I was thinking, you're an elderly person, and you're traveling. He says he's traveling constantly, right? Like, more than half of his year is spent traveling. And he said, I'm happy with it. And he said one thing. Again, I wish I could live like him. He said, I can pray anywhere. You know, he doesn't talk, right? So he writes on his notepad. So I asked him, don't you get tired? And he said, I can pray anywhere. Big smiley face. And I was like, wow, profound. You know, he can pray anywhere. Anywhere, even on the airplane, that's his sanctuary with God. And he's so happy. He's like, no, it doesn't bother me at all. And so I want to encourage us. I think today, let's come back to God. Whatever it is in your heart, hopefully you're not troubled, which is great. But if you are, let's come back to God. And actually, I want to suggest to us that maybe the very reason why our psalmist here is troubled to begin with is because he became distant from God. Right? If we remain in the sanctuary of God, in the presence of God, maybe we're not filled with these thoughts. We're not attracted to sin as much. Maybe we're not as troubled or as bitter or as resentful, but because he, for whatever reason, removed himself from the presence, now he's feeling all this trouble and this struggle. And then when he gets connected to God again, everything comes into focus. But I do want to turn to one verse. Verse 20, it's in the NIV version. Verse 21, it says, when my heart was grieved and my spirit was embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. But in verse 23, he has this revelation. Verse 23, he says, yet I realize I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. And so the truth is God is always with us, right? He has never let go of us, but sometimes we just feel disconnected from him, and then we get into all of this, and so we have to come back to him, and when we do come back to him, we recognize, oh man, no, you have always been with me, even when I was going through all of this. And so we're again filled with worship and thankfulness and the right perspective. Okay, so let's have Janella lead us in a song. And yeah, just for today, I invite you This morning, if you're here or if you're listening on the podcast, let's just spend some time. Let's set aside some time and enter into the sanctuary and spend some time in prayer. And you know, if we have made sanctuaries of anything else, let's repent of that. And let's lay those things down and recognize, God, you are my only refuge. You are my only satisfaction. So let's go to God. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, God, for whatever reason, Lord, it is very difficult when we are feeling a little distant and feeling a little troubled in our hearts, God, to come to you. It's often easier to turn to other things. And so we repent of turning to other sanctuaries, so to speak, God. And we want to repent of that. We want to lay those things down, and we want to come back to you this morning. Thank you for the word, God, for the reminder. Lord, in your presence, in your sanctuary is where we're going to find true understanding and true perspective, your perspective. Yeah, no matter what the trouble is, God, no matter what the trouble is, it is in your sanctuary, in your presence, that we're going to find understanding and perspective. So God, help us as a church to do that. Help us to strive to enter into the sanctuary, God, to make that decision, Lord. Thank you, God. Let's pray together for our community. Let's pray for those going through cancer and chemo or radiotherapy. Let's pray for God's healing to come. Let's pray for the power of God to move in this time. Let's pray. Let's also pray for those of our community who have family members or friends that are sick but also in need of salvation. Let's pray for the mercy of God to be revealed in their hearts and in their minds, and for healing to come as well. Let's go to the third. Let's pray for those that are going through various infirmities of any kind. Let's pray for healing. Let's pray for encouragement. I know sometimes as when they go through something like this, they could feel a little down and, you know, troubled, right? And let's pray that they will be able to find that peace and perspective by spending time with the Lord. And so let's pray for strength for our friends as well and healing. And lastly, for our community prayer, let's pray for those that are looking for a job. Let's pray for mercy. Let's pray for provision. Let's pray for encouragement and that just favor. You know, they'll be able to find the right job for them. Let's pray. Let's pray for Hong Kong, our Tuesday prayer focus. Let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for our government. Let's pray for all the churches and the different ministries that we partner with. Let's pray regarding the wealth gap here, that there will be some kind of solution that is righteous and godly. Let's pray for those that are very troubled here, the young people, the families in distress. Let's pray for all the helpers in Hong Kong. And so let's just pray for mercy and grace over our city. Let's pray for the staff. Let's just pray for the staff to be healthy, to be to connect with God, to be always filled with the Holy Spirit, and also to be united and to be able to work well together. And so, let's lift up the staff. Let's pray for our hospitality ministry, welcoming and barista team. Let's pray for Pastor Andrew and Ash as they lead these ministries. And let's pray for all the people that are serving, that they would be filled with such love and a welcoming spirit, as they greet the people that come to our church. So let's pray for this ministry. Let's pray for the worship, sound, and AV team. Myself, Conrad, and Pastor Kenny as we lead these different teams. And let's pray for a heart of worship and a heart of excellence in all that we do. Let's pray for our house churches meeting today. Let's pray for a great time of sharing and encouraging and also putting into action what we are learning at church. Let's pray for our house churches. Lastly, let's pray for our retreat that's coming up at the end of this month. Let's prepare our hearts. Let's pray for our church to prepare our hearts and to be hungry and to be excited for the retreat. And so many things. That's the logistics. Let's pray that everybody will be able to come. So many things, but let's just lift up the retreat as a whole. Yes, God, thank you, Lord. Thank you that you hear our prayers. Thank you that we could come into your presence, God. We love you. And help us to get into your word and into your presence, into the sanctuary, God. I pray for those of us, God, who are troubled, that we may really find perspective in you. And for those of us, God, that turn to other sanctuaries, God, help us to turn away from those and to enter into the true sanctuary. And just want to thank you that in actuality, God, that we're always with you. God, that you are always with us. God, that you are right here, God. And we want to turn to you, and we want to experience that nearness again, God. So we love you, God. We give this day to you. We worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day today. Just a reminder, there's no lunchtime prayer today because it's a staff holiday, but we'll be back on from tomorrow.